Welcome to ASI Cast 128, and the focus of our podcast today is Seaflight. Now, at our conference in Prague back in 2019, in the before times, Lucy Bristow of Sky introduced us to the concept of Seaflight, which is an approach offered by Sky in its markets and by NBC in the States that combines linear and broadcast VOD audiences to give advertisers post-campaign evaluation. Now, we thought it'd be a big interest, not just in the UK, but to our international audience, that that approach has now been adopted by UK broadcasters more widely. And in June 2021, last month as we record, an industry-wide Seaflight system was unveiled, with data being available from this autumn. So we thought this would be a good opportunity for our audience to understand more about the system, given that cross-platform measurement is such a hot topic around the world at the moment. So joining me today are Lucy Bristow from Sky and Harry Ullman from RSNB, who've built the statistical engine behind this widened, enlarged Seaflight. So firstly, if I can ask Lucy, what led you to offer Seaflight out to other broadcasters? It seems very generous of Sky. Did it not give you a competitive advantage just to keep it all to yourself?
Thanks, Richard. Yeah, so we had developed Seaflight for Sky originally using the best available sources, including the 500,000 panel information from Sky. And our data scientists worked closely with RSNB for over a year to build the best solution possible to deduplicate linear and VOD, Sky VOD campaign reach. And once we knew the solution and the process worked well, we took it to our agencies and our advertisers, and the feedback we got from them was overwhelmingly, you know, this is great, Sky. It's what we need in the industry to understand the contribution VOD is making. But the real value would be in an understanding of all broadcaster VOD, not just Sky in isolation. So that's what we were hearing. And it made sense to us. So you're right, whilst it is a unique tool for Sky to have, we quickly realised that it could be much more powerful if we extended the capability to ITV and Channel 4. And I think the really great measurement capabilities work best when they can benefit many rather than a few.
So this is a bit of a world first in terms of it being expanded out to the wider broadcast community.
Yes, I think it is. And we've spoken to broadcasters globally, actually, sort of many are getting in touch from around Europe, Canada, and sort of talking about the blueprint and the framework and how it might work in other markets. So on that basis, I think it is a world first.
Being a world first, I guess one of the challenges has been the collaboration with the broadcasters. Not that I'm implying you don't get on very well, but just you've all got different players with different technical systems. I'm going to come on to the stats in a moment, but in terms of the actual technical logistics of tying all these data sets together, that must have been a bit of a challenge.
Yes, and I would say that that's been our number one challenge, the moving of the data, of the VOD data, into a central safe place. So not one broadcaster can see each other's VOD data. So it had to move somewhere. And obviously we're talking about a lot of data to shift. So that's one part of the data challenge. But the other part obviously is to make sure that the data sets are consistent and accurate, and giving RSNB and TechEdge the right information on each of our impressions, if you like, to in order to create the deduplicated reach. So it has to be consistent, has to be right, and it has to be moved into a central location. So yeah, the data, the moving of the data has been quite a challenge, Richard, for us.
You mentioned RSNB and TechEdge. Now TechEdge is the system that's delivering the end product of the data, which in itself, I suspect, it involves a lot of work and is a challenge. But we've got RSNB, Harry Ullman from RSNB with us as well. And bearing in mind our audience like to understand a bit about the maths behind how this works, but also bearing in mind that we don't want to bewilder them with maths. We're going to try and keep it as simple as we can in terms of how Seaflight actually works. Now, at a basic level, it combines barb data and ad server impression data to estimate campaign reach and frequency. Now, the first question is that one of those measures people, but the other is measuring machines and streams and requests. How do you turn BVOD streaming data into people, Harry?
So there's two aspects to this. There's how do you convert a machine impression into something that resembles an impact? And obviously the tool is not just about impacts, it's also a reach and frequency tool. So it's how do you then take the registered account reach and frequency that that each of the broadcasters have and convert that into people reach. So first talking about how we would convert a machine impression into an impact. When an advert is served and goes out on a device, there's two ways that that can differ from the advert being seen on the device and the people who are watching it. So firstly, we've got co-viewing. We all know that two or more people can view an advert at any given time. And then secondly, and this is more important for future releases of Seaflight, there is availability to view. So when the advert goes out, when we start talking about demographics, the advert goes out, we care not just about how many people are viewing, but are they of the right demographic when we want to start dealing with demographic measurements. To model co-viewing and in the future to model availability to view, we use things called viewers per view factors, or I will use the term VPVs going forward. So these are aggregate scalars that represent the average number of viewers per view. And the idea is that they give you a conversion from a machine impression to an impact on an aggregate level. So we apply any one of hundreds of VPVs to a single machine impression. We have all of the different machine impressions from the campaign. We add them all up and we get an overall impacts total at the aggregate level. So they are built using the available data sources that we have. We use panel data, we use census data. So we use Barb's data, for example, and we use Barb Dovetail census data. And we have designed the configuration, so when we get a machine impression in which VPV do we apply, to be as detailed as possible while still being robust to all of the different input data that's going in. So what this means is for every single impression that comes into Seaflight, we look at a host of things like when did the impression go out, what device it's watched on, what player is used, what is the content that it's attached to, and similar. And we then tailor the viewer per view for that impression to the metadata behind the impression. So a good example to see what we're doing here is take impressions that go out on a TV set. So things that are going out via, for example, Sky set-top box VPV or connected TVs or similar. These conversions from machine impressions to impact should be larger than the machine impressions that are going out on tablets, because we know that tablets are very personal devices. It's very hard to co-view on a tablet, whereas it's not hard to co-view on a TV, and for particularly like main set things where you're watching kind of, you're potentially watching VOD as a family or as a group, we know that there's going to be a lot of co-viewing behind it. So we've tailored the VPVs to mean that when the machine impression comes in, we look at things like, is it a TV set machine impression? And we then scale accordingly. Mm.
So that gives you the people. It seems perhaps a slightly more nuanced version of what's been done with return path data with PIVs, the the slightly more blunt, but still effectively the proportion of individuals viewing or the probability of individual viewing. So you've turned them into people. I guess the next challenge is, and probably arguably an even bigger one, is deduplicating the reach, because you have got separate data sets from Channel 4, ITV, Channel 5, etc. You're not allowed to have a mechanism of tracking people to see if they're the same people. So how do you determine if, for example, an ad that was served in The Masked Singer on ITV Hub is seen by a different person to the one who sees the same ad watching Neighbours on the Channel 5 on-demand service?
So I think the first thing we do is we have to take each player's reach, which we know at an account level, and convert that to a person level. This is where we start getting into the heavy statistics behind C-Flight. So we have, for each player, so for example, for ITV Hub, we have at their registered account level a relationship between reach, average frequency, and similar. We encode that relationship into a statistical model. So we encode that relationship into a series of mathematical formulae that are statistically robust and that acknowledge what that relationship is and where that relationship comes from. And those formulae allow us to then, in a non-linear way, derive people reach by player. Specifically, we do use a technique called negative binomial distribution modeling, which is something that a lot of people may be aware of is part of the Barb Gold standard for reach and frequency. In terms of reach modeling, it is the most robust technique available. There's a whole host of both academic and commercial literature behind it. We know it's robust, and so we build these reach models to give us people reach, but that only gives us people reach by player. So that only gives us the people reached on ITV Hub. We don't know how many of those might also have been reached on All Four, for example. So we then have probabilistic deduplication models. So the first thing we do is we take the whole of the UK and we partition it into hundreds of different universe cells. So we have obviously the universe of the population of the UK. We take that and we chop it up so that every single person in the UK is in one and only one of these cells. And these cells are split by platform availability. So for example, one cell may be, this person has access to linear TV. They are a recent user of ITV Hub. They are a recent user of Sky Go, but they're not a recent user of All Four. So this means that everyone in the country is in one and only one cell. And these cells give us all of the potentials where exactly the scenario you described of an ad going out on Love Island being watched by one person who also watched it on Samsung TV can occur. We know all of the potentials within each universe cell. We know all of the different ways that duplicate reach can turn up. We then have a series of machine learning models that deduplicate the reach. So fairly roughly speaking, we look at every single scenario in turn. So for example, duplicate reach between ITV Hub and All Four. Very naively, we can predict that duplicate reach using the Sainsbury formula. But we know that that's not going to be right for every single scenario. And we know that every single scenario is going to be different. So we then have, for each scenario, so for the ITV All Four scenario, we have a model that takes the prediction and corrects it to more accurately represent the actual duplicate reach. These models are then applied in each universe cell to calculate deduplicate reach. So across all of the different cells, we then know deduplicate reach in each of them, and we can all put it back together to get an overall deduplicate reach. So these models are trained on surrogate data, and we use the best data sources we have available. So for example, to deduplicate between BVOD reach and linear TV, we have a model that is Sky gave us access to their internal panel data, and we trained the model on how people view campaigns that go out both on Sky Linear and on Sky VOD. Now, you may well question, well, isn't this going to necessarily be biased towards Sky? What we then did is we then took that model and ran an equivalent model on the Barb data. So on Barb, we have TV set VOD that is reported. It's not complete. Some of it is curated content, but there is TV set VOD available. But there is then a complete linear viewing available. We ran the modeling on that data set as well as validation, and we produced the same model. So we did a validation and found that that model worked. And there are then a lot of different deduplication models for different scenarios. And like I said, they're all tailored. So for example, when deduplicating ITV Hub and All4, we've trained that on data where we've matched to ITV and Channel 4 content.
So, to me, Dovetail is an input into that, because that, although Dovetail's measuring only content, it is measuring the overlap between the players. So that gives you a source of truth, as it were, to be checking what you're doing against.
So Dovetail isn't an input into the deduplication modelling, because the deduplication models are built on campaign reach, and obviously Dovetail doesn't measure campaigns, it only measures content. We are exploring validation using Dovetail's data.
I guess another way in which it's different from Dovetail, as I understand it, and this is getting to the outer reaches of my statistical knowledge, but as I understand it, what you've got here is a macro model as opposed to a micro model like Dovetail. So Dovetail and systems like it in other countries provide what we're used to, which is a respondent level database. In this case, you're running the process on each campaign, which, as I understand it, gives you greater accuracy, but obviously doesn't produce a standard respondent level database. So effectively, you run a request for a campaign, which is then processed?
Yes, exactly. So a request comes in, we then, each of the ad servers for all of the different broadcasters get pinged, they start churning away, they start producing the data that's needed specifically for that campaign, that then goes back to TechEdge and produces it. So we made this choice because, well, as you said, we wanted to get the best accuracy possible for the question at hand. So our goal was a reach and frequency analysis tool. We set out with the aim of, can we produce the best reach and frequency analysis tool that we can, without compromising it by trying to produce something else as well.
I mean, this is going to be quite a critical point going forward, I think, for people considering how they're going to be constructing cross-platform and cross-media models, as to whether you go down the route of running it at a campaign level or whether you stick with a respondent level database. I guess that overlaps slightly with a question I had for Lucy, which is that presumably users are requesting to see their campaigns. Will they be able to see their rivals' campaigns on request, or is it limited simply to people who've actually run campaigns as clients?
Richard, if I may, before I answer that question, I just wanted to make a point on Dovetail. I don't know if you're coming back to it, but I don't know if you were thinking about another input. So Dovetail has another purpose, not just in the reach, but obviously in the VPV calculations. So we are still using the Dovetail information. I'll just make that point clear. And yeah. clearly there, as we all know on this call, there are real trade-offs in all of the methodologies that we've looked at, whether that's a single source panel, which if no one was interested in demographics in our industry, then that might work for us. But unfortunately, we need a good view of demographics as well as reach. So, you know, we're trading off all the time, aren't we? And we think this is the best solution for us at the time. So in answer to your question, from launch, users will only get to see their campaigns. And the reason for this is because, as we said right at the start, this has never been done before. You know, we are going to enter a test and learn phase. We don't know the volumes of requests that will come through from launch through to Tech Edge on our ad servers. And we're going to have to monitor that quite carefully and, you know, then have a view on whether we sort of open that up further.
It sounds like you're not ruling it out in the future. It's just that you want to focus on the, you know, seeing what the volume and the
we've got to have a careful look at volumes. If we open everything up from launch, we just need to be very careful about that and the strain that might put on some of the systems, and then we'll evolve as we go and make decisions as we go.
And will users be able to isolate what each broadcaster has contributed to the campaign, or will it just be reporting a combined campaign total?
Yeah, again, from launch, it will be a total BVOD contribution, which no one's ever seen before for their actual linear campaign. So that's a first. And again, we will look at that, I think, in subsequent phases. We're working with RS&B to look at the design for how that might work in the methodology for future phases of broadcaster Cflight. But from launch, it will be total BVOD contribution to reach is X.
And does it include data from the addressable system AdSmart?
For broadcaster Cflight, again, from launch, no. However, that is something we are looking at in our Skylab. Clearly, that's a whole new set of data and a whole new set of challenges for Harry and the team. When you start to look at addressable segments and niche audiences, we are working into completely different methodology at that point. So we're kind of looking at it behind the scenes, but from launch, it will not be part of the broadcaster solution.
In terms of advertiser credibility, I mean, the system sits outside of Barb, although I know Barb, you know, are in favour of it, very much so. But would it be audited? Will a third party be auditing the system?
Yeah, and that's one of our key principles. So one of the guiding principles behind Cflight is that there is full transparency and openness. There's no secrets in any of this. We want to give users, people who are going to be using information, full assurance that the system, the data going in and the outputs are consistent and can be trusted. So I want to make three points around this, really, around are we marking our own homework? So the first one is we've appointed ABC to conduct audits on the inputs that go into Tech Edge from each of the broadcasters' ad servers. So it would be a very thorough audit, looking at our ad servers, looking at the data. And ABC will be reporting back on whether data is accurate and consistent. Their work will be thorough. It involves viewing ads on known devices and ensuring the ad impression can be traced in the raw logs. And once ABC have reviewed the system, they'll advise on potential improvements for the future. And this will be an ongoing audit that we hope to conduct. Secondly, as you mentioned, Richard, we are actively discussing with Barb the role that Barb can play in the future and whether that's around the verification for data inputs, or the reach methodology itself, or the entire system. We're kind of open and excited about what that could mean for the future of Cflight. So again, good collaboration there. And then the final point I wanted to make on audits was that on the Sky methodology, so on our original blueprint, if you like, we work closely and continue to work closely with PwC, who are part of the Sky process. And they're also in the process of looking at our methodology and the processes that we put in place for turning households into individuals. So we're applying a lot of rigor and a lot of assurances for users of this information.
Could the system, in theory, be widened to include data from other online video sources like YouTube or Facebook?
Yeah, and that's a great question, isn't it? And I mentioned audits there, but we do have a set of principles, a set of standards that we apply to every impression that forms part of CFlight. So we would need to ensure that any new platform coming on board conforms to this set of principles, audits and standards. And there's just no getting around that. We've got a long to-do list for CFlight currently. So in future, we would like to explore the possibility of including our own content, for example, that's viewed via YouTube. So that could be short form clips, could be for Sky, it could be for Channel 4, any of the broadcasters. And that's definitely something we would like to explore in the future in terms of what that can add to reach, particularly for some of the younger demographics. So again, not ruling it out, not saying it's out of scope, but it is something we need to consider in the future.
Now, by coincidence, on the same day you launched CFlight, there was also an Origin online webinar later that day, with Origin being the UK pilot for the WFA cross-media initiative. I mean, it strikes me this may be, seems more like an important step towards cross-platform and cross-media measurement. Is there a way in which the two initiatives could meet in the middle? Could they be merged somehow? All other systems that are being considered not compatible?
Yeah, I think we're not close enough to the detail yet of the framework there for Origin to be able to sort of comment in a robust way. I think the answer I've just given around what our requirements would be for being part of CFlight maybe helps to answer that around the sort of standards that we want to apply to the data, the audits that we want to have in place, the use of the Barb data, potentially, you know, Barb's involvement. All of that is needs to be taken into account when we consider are the two compatible. But obviously a wider conversation to be held with the other broadcasters and obviously with all the CFlight stakeholders.
Cool. Now, your timeline has you producing the first outputs to the industry in the autumn. As I understand it, you're starting off with running it on all adults, and then functionality like more demographics will be come on stream over the next year to 18 months or so. So will you be able to come back and share some initial findings with us at our event in November?
Yes, we'd love to.
Because we can also do a further explanation of the methodology, which Harry, I think, managed to explain in a very coherent way, and also managed to use three phrases which crop up at virtually every ASI conference, one of which is the negative binomial, which people nod knowledgeably at, and the Sainsbury formula, which isn't our Mike Sainsbury, it's a different statistician. But I don't think you mentioned regression to the mean, but that's probably a whole other podcast on that topic. But well, thanks Lucy and thanks Harry, and we look forward to seeing the first fruits of this World First initiative at our conference in November. So thanks guys.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Mike.